Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, Joy 94.9 listeners. This is Mark on Escape Pod. Unfortunately, Joe, well, fortunately for Joe, she's in New Zealand. She's having a wonderful time in the land of the wrong white crowd. In the meantime, I'm sitting here with Emma Overton, who is a very skilled and experienced flight
person. I don't know about that so much as skilled. I enjoy getting away and being amongst what the world has to offer.
So not only an avid traveller, but someone who worked in the business for quite a long time. So tell us about how you got into, I know you're not doing it now, but tell us how you got into it. I know it was a youthful decision.
It was. I took myself to Perth. A relationship took me over there, and I was only 19 at the time, so very green and fresh-faced and rosy-cheeked. And
full of pith and vinegar.
That's right. I actually was socialising in a... with a lot of flight crew. My partner at the time was an aircraft engineer, and I was lucky enough to actually meet an owner of a company.
Yeah.
And they'd started doing a lot of FIFO work in Perth. And
what's FIFO?
FIFO is fly in, fly out. So it was when the mining boom was kind of taking off in Western Australia. So they were...
when Gina was down to her first billion.
Absolutely. So they were filling that niche market of getting people to and from work. And I presented myself to the said owner of the company and said, I think I should be a flight attendant for your company. And with that, I got a job. So it wasn't the usual traditional way of, I found that in my life, that's how things have happened, through chance and
luck.
You know, you make your own luck.
Well,
you know,
fortune favours the brave, Emma.
So well, I'm not sure about that.
So,
brave or stupid?
Yeah, well, same thing. So the traditional path for people to get into, especially cabin crew, tends to be really, really engaged and involved. And I know that you have friends who work in, you know, the pointy end of the big birds that fly on the glamorous trips. Mm. Tell us about their path and their career and how that contrasted with yours, because you were very domestic and
absolutely. Well, no, I did a lot of charter flying, so it was broad and changeable. So we flew on a few different aircraft. So it's different now, as though you go through a long kind of process of employment, especially with, you know, Qantas and Virgin. I'd say, you know, there's probably five steps to the process now. And, you know, they're looking for a certain type of person. It's a different ball game now. They're also employing differently. So, you know, you're often employed casually on entry now. And, you know, the days of the full-time employment and with all the benefits of something of the past, I think.
So where do you see the big Middle Eastern airlines and how they've changed the global business? How do you see that impacting Australian flight attendants and the way they do their work going in the future?
I think in Australia, a lot of what we do is service oriented. So, you know, we present, I think, across the world as one of the most highly skilled and certainly a high level, one of the highest levels of service that you'll see in the sky. Certainly from, you know, our Qantas staff and airlines of such. So I've forgotten what we were talking about.
Well, the way that like Emirates and Qatar and Etihad, very, very competitive big global players, they have Middle Eastern employment practices and behaviours. They're internationalised to a degree because of the nature of the flying business. But they're having, because of their power, they're having big impact with the American airlines. And there was a spat last week with a very senior member of the Emirates team saying that American airlines are basically a low-cost bus in the sky.
Mm.
And everybody's stressed by it because it's the pressure put on the staff filters through to the flying public.
Mm.
And the staff are under incredible amounts of cost pressure, which is reflecting on the flying experience. Now,
yes.
The Middle Eastern airlines have a different way of doing things. So they're shaking up the way that the traditional flag carriers used to have a lot of capacity, and that was born in the ticket prices. But now with this competition, they can push service up and price lower.
Mm.
So that impacts on other international, well, and, yeah, especially flag carriers.
And at the end of the day, it does impact on the service that you're getting.
Mm.
You know, you can't cut costs like that and not see the onflow to, you know, the front of house staff. You know, that's where, you know, the airlines is one of those tricky businesses where, you know, it's about service at the end of the day, and it's about your customers feeling that level of service. And so when you start cutting costs, you know, you're going to see it in the faces of those frontline staff.
Yeah.
So it's,
do you see that as something that's going to continue, or do you have a lot of hope that there'll be a self-correcting mechanism in there?
I think we are spoiled in Australia. I think we rate our service highly. I haven't done a lot of intra-country travel within sort of Britain and America. I have done a little bit a long time ago. And, you know, the level of service was just not there. And that's what you're seeing, basically. But I think in Australia we still rate that very highly, and I think we expect it as customers, and our service providers know that and stick to that sort of high-end level. But, you know, you can also see it in low-end suppliers that, you know, the service isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see it in the staff, and, I mean, I don't choose to fly with those airlines for that reason.
Yeah, it must be a pretty tough job for some of the budget carriers, because the expectation, people still want their meal and their TV screen and all these things, but they only want to pay $60 each way for it, and something has to give.
That's right.
Unfortunately, you see it etched on the faces of the people who are providing the service when you're up in the air.
Absolutely.
And it's a shame.
It's the old adage, Mark, you get what you pay for.
It is. If you've got any questions or experiences, and if you're a flight attendant and you want to throw your two bob in, let us know. You can SMS us on 0427 joy949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you, particularly if you're flying now and you've got some comments about how the business has changed. We'd love to have your feedback. So, Emma, when you were flying and you were doing the FIFO work, what was the one thing that stuck out about the job that you loved the most?
For me, it was relationship. So my my passengers became, you know, my friends. I'd take them to and from work.
Oh, because
so,
repetitive.
So it was a repetitive run. So for the first couple of years, I would take the same people to and from work. So we knew about each other's lives, and I was only on a very small aircraft. So it was. I really enjoyed the work. It was very personal, you know. So it's not like, you know, I mean, we had relationships, you know, and I found that when I did go across to mainline, I missed that part of, you know, the job. So that's when I sort of looked at what my career direction was and then changed career, basically, because I'd lost that kind of relationship. And for me, that's what my work is about. So, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. Would you go back to flying now that you've had a bit of a break in years? I mean, you own your own business, you do other things. Mm. Would you go back to flying?
No, I have thought about it because a lot of my friends obviously still do fly long haul. But I think it's very demanding. Personally, I think it's demanding physically. And, you know, I'm getting older, Mark. Getting on.
Oh, you don't.
And they probably wouldn't want me anymore anyway.
Is there still that pressure on physicality?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you have to, you know, it's about presentation and service. And I think that comes, you know, that's a, it comes together.
It's all grist for the mill. Okay. So would you see yourself going in other parts of the airline business instead of being front of house and flying, or is this just a...
No, I fly now to have fun.
We're going to talk
I mean, I do it for work, but, you know...
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
To have a glass of sparkling.
And turn left at the front door, thanks.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy, and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've...
Ha-ha! Wonderful. Dial today. 1-300-JOY-949. Or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's A-U as in A-U. Sponsor Joy.
Right now in the studio live, we have Emma Overton, former... is it cabin crew, the people or attendants?
Flight attendant.
Flight attendant, yeah. And so what's the difference between cabin crew and flight attendant? I guess that's cabin crew is everybody.
Well, it's the crew, but yeah, I mean, they are called cabin crew now, but you, I mean, I guess your title is a flight attendant.
Right.
And you are a cabin
crew. And then the seniority
crew,
of
because that differentiates the technical crew from the cabin crew.
And the technical crew are the people with the white shirts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Up in the cockpit.
They play the video games at the front with all the screens.
The pointy end.
The pointy end. So, Emma, in the time you've been travelling, not only as a an employee of an organisation that flies, you've also been an avid traveller. You've been around the world several times. What's changed in travel that's positive to you? What's the difference? Is it just the prices have gone down and it's so much more accessible?
I guess it's more accessible to a lot more people now. Mm. You know, I mean, in our parents' day, my parents were probably my age before they even went on a plane, you know. Mm. Like, and now, I mean, my daughter was 6 months old when we first flew, you know. So I think it's just it's become a mainstream way of travelling. You know,
yes.
The world is smaller, and that would be the greatest change, I guess, is accessibility, which is born through price and people wanting to be connected.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about travel is getting to be with people that you care about in other places, or learning about your own history, your own heritage, or someone else's, and having that real live engagement about it's different than just eating a pizza that's delivered, rather than being in Italy and having the experience.
Absolutely.
And seeing it through Italian eyes. So what other changes have you noticed that are really glaring in travel over the past years?
Nothing glaring.
Okay. Well, where do you see travel going in the future? Is it going to continue as it is? Because environmental concerns are a big deal. Planes are getting lighter and more economic to run.
Yes, yep. So I guess, you know, the next step is, you know, the moon.
Okay. So you're really on the Branson side of...
Why not? Let's take it next level.
Yeah, next minute we'll be on the moon.
Well, I think we will.
There'll be McDonald's there.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely. I'd love to go to the moon.
A moon burger.
I'd want the quickest option, obviously.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing it in a 747.
No.
Yeah.
That would take quite a while to get to the moon. So what else do you see in travel? Is you take the airline part of it, just travel in general. What are your impressions of a travel professional?
Well, for me, it's about when I travel, I like to travel well. Mm. And so, you know, I can't mention brands on this.
No.
But, you know, I choose my travel through service. Mm-hmm. So I don't choose through price.
Mm-hmm.
I like to fly with the same carrier.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I believe that, you know, a lot of people, there's this sort of dynamic that's happening that people don't want to pay money. But I also think that a lot of people are happy to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that when they do travel, they expect a certain level of service and comfort. And that's where there's this sort of, differential at the moment where, you know, there's this conflicting view that it's just all about cost and low cost, and I don't believe that that's the truth. I think there are a lot of people who, you know, are happy to spend the money on,
if I've got it, I'll spend it.
Absolutely, yeah. And that if you don't have it at the time, then you wait another year until you've saved and you can afford to travel in that way. Because, you know, you're on there for a long time, and, you know, if you can sleep on the flight, it changes the way that you carry into your holiday or the business that you're doing that you're flying for. You know, so it's, you know, that's what I see. Yeah.
Okay, so travel plans for you. You've got a young daughter. What are your thoughts on travel? I mean, you've been overseas a couple of times this year already. What are your thoughts of travelling with kids?
I haven't broached the long haul with baby as yet. She's 8.5. We get to about 3 hours and it's, when's this
hell
going to
earth?
End? But she's a pretty good traveller. I mean, she did, you know, we don't travel. She probably has travelled by plane, I guess, around 7 times in her life. But, yeah, long hauls, I think I'll keep that to around the sort of teenage years. I'm not ready. And usually when I travel long haul, it's, without her for business, or I'll try and sort of, you know, mix the business with pleasure. We do a lot of, obviously we have a lot of friends that live interstate, so we often just travel to stay with them in school holidays or things like that. So it's not too strenuous when we do travel. I like to, you know, use the lounge, and the facilities that they have for the kids are pretty good now. So, and, you know, they've got their iPods and, you know, they keep themselves pretty occupied. So by the time you're up and in the air, it's really only, you know, an hour or so that they've got to really get through, which is doable.
So it's less stressful.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it used to be like when they didn't have
before this
devices
Californian or, technology.
I guess they'd read a book, play cards.
Or listen to a Walkman cassette.
Right.
For hours.
I do often engage, you know, and have a conversation with her as well. So there is that.
Oh, some parenting getting in the way. Well, that's a part of it. I'm absolutely sure.
Yeah. She's good at, you know, plain selfies and, you know, keeping the flight attendants interested. She usually does a little book for the flight attendants on her iPad, things like that.
So you were telling me about your experience in the Marais in Paris when you were there last year, and you were literally gobsmacked with the amount of everything. Tell us about that.
The amount of...
gays.
Yeah, it was... we went out one night, so we stayed right in the centre of the Marais district, and I'm not sure if it was a festival or not, but it was heaving. It was actually, I do think we were the only women, so certainly the gentlemen had the pick of the share going on. But it was.
So how was the gay community
amazing.
Different to the Australian gay community?
It was very open. They were out on the streets. It was a beautiful summer evening. It was just, it was an amazing experience, actually. Yeah, very, very open, and almost felt Mardi Gras-like. It was, it was just a really party kind of, and it was probably around 5:30 in the afternoon, and it was already, you know, really pumping. So
people drinking their vin blanc.
Oh, absolutely. It was an awesome thing to be amongst.
So if you were recommending to gay travellers, if they were going to Paris, would Marais be
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that would be your destination for party, that's for sure.
Yeah. And the hotel accommodation, the Marais?
We did Airbnb, actually.
Yeah.
For that part of the trip, which... We were in a very busy area. We had a club, a bar that was underneath us, which was good because we went there. But the first night we didn't, and we didn't sleep a lot. But, you know, that's Airbnb. You've got to be open to that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And we wanted to be in an area that was fun and vibrant. So that was the choice for the end of the tour. Tour de France.
Well, it's been a long time since I've been to Paris, and I think that the Marais might be on my short list of things to do.
Yes, it's a must do, Mark.
Well, I must do it then, Em.
Hi there, Jason Gipps here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Are you a regular listener to our Joy podcast service? Like what you hear? Tell us. Email production@joy.org.au. Tell us something that you've heard that you've particularly enjoyed, and we'll pass it on to the volunteers of our podcast service. Our Joy program production team is made up of around 30 volunteers, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, email production@joy.org.au. And if you love what we're doing, why not support us as a Joy member? You can become a Joy member anytime, online at joy.org.au or call 1300 569 949. Thanks for supporting the diverse sound of a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Thank you for being on Joy 94.9 today, listening to us either on air or, over the radio or online is what I'm trying to get out. Today we've got Emma Overton with us, former trolley dolly for some of Australia's largest airborne information.
In the day you could refer to them as that. I think we were actually referred to as Babe Link when we were Air Link.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we were Babe Link.
Oh, dear. All those old madmen
days.
Politically
incorrect business.
But we have someone very exciting to talk to right now, Emma. We have Peter. Peter is from the Audi Festival of German Films, and he's currently speaking to us live from Como, not George Clooney's house. Is it, Peter? Are you at George Clooney's house?
No, unfortunately, it's at the Como Cinema, but George couldn't make it, but there you go. What can you say?
Is Amel hanging around?
I don't know, but she's probably litigating somewhere. Who knows?
Yes. Asking all the tough questions. So, Peter, tell us about the Audi Festival of German Films. What's going on? It looks like such a great lineup.
Well, we've got about 50 films this year. It's the biggest German film festival outside of Germany.
Oh, that's a lot of schnitzel.
Yes, you can have a schnitzel with your film. But we've got so many good films, and we've just had a panel discussion about German cinema after the documentary From Caligari to Hitler, which looked at early silent 20s cinema in Germany. But we have so many contemporary films and dramas, comedies, everything that represents the quality filmmaking that Germany is producing at the moment.
So what's the key feature that's features?
Okay, well, the key features were the opening night film, and we had the actor here visiting us, Florian Steller, the film Beloved Sisters, which is about the late 18th century relationship between Friedrich Schiller, who was a noted poet and writer in Germany, and two aristocratic women. And they sort of had a menage a trois, which was very strange for German society at that time, but they sort of got away with it most of the time. And it's a very good drama and very enjoyable. And the actor who played Schiller was here in Melbourne doing some Q&As, and everyone seemed to like him, and it was a very popular film.
Excellent. Well, talk us through what the film festival is, because was it on the 9th?
No, it started on the 14th, so we've only been going
2 days.
2 days, that's right, and we're going through to the 31st of May. What I do as I consult with the Goethe Institute is to select films that represent the broad range of cinema films that are being made in Germany at the moment. And so we have everything, as I mentioned, from dramas to comedies and so on. One of the highlights of the festival is a Swiss film. We're having a special Swiss evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Swiss-German film called The Circle. And this is a story which I didn't really know anything about until I saw this film, which is a documentary and a docudrama at the same time. It's about the relationship between two gay men in Zurich, in Switzerland, in the 1950s. And in particular, it was at the establishment of a special magazine and club that that gay men would visit and would allow themselves self-expression, etc., which, even though homosexuality was not illegal in Switzerland at the time, it was certainly not something that was validated, if you like to put it that way. And as one of the men was a teacher, still is a teacher because they're both still alive, what was so incredible is he had to hide his sexuality to be able to keep his job as a teacher, because it was obviously seen as something not appropriate. So this film looks at their lives and dramatizes the 50s when they had this relationship, and it looks at them today. They're still alive. They formed a civil union in Switzerland in 2000, and it's really an incredible story, which is both a documentary and a docudrama at the same time, and that's The Circle. So that's certainly a film I recommend.
When's that screening?
I'm just checking that now.
Well, he's only got 50 films to remember.
Yes, amongst my 4 million notes, because I'm in the middle of so many discussions and Q&As. But just be aware, here it is. It's on Monday, the 25th of May, at 8:30 at the Como. So it's our special Swiss night. So there'll be some Swiss food, cheese, all that sort of thing. And then
they're known for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what's your personal relationship with Germany? You're pronouncing things correctly.
It's interesting. I was born in Australia, but my parents were German-Austrian.
Okay.
And so German was my first language.
Right.
And also being a film critic, the Goethe Institute thought it was most appropriate to get me on board.
Natürlich.
So anyway, look, we've got so many other good films, like From Caligari to Hitler, the survey...
Talk to us about that, because the word Hitler generally... Yep. Casts a pall over any conversation. It's a word that brings with it a lot of emotional charge. If it's in the title of a film, it's...
It is. What it is, it's a survey of films made between 1918 and 1933 in Germany, so films like Metropolis and M and Faust and Nosferatu, etc. And these were great films. And this documentary looks at the psychology behind a lot of these films, and that they were anticipating the hypnotizing of the masses, of control of people, and of obviously of Nazism. And of course, by 1933, so many of these filmmakers, like Billy Wilder and Fritz Lang and Ernst Lubitsch and others, they fled Germany and established themselves in Hollywood and in other places, which sort of at that stage killed the German film industry. But so this two-hour documentary is a brilliant look at those films, with some fantastic film clips, but also a great analysis of those films. And we've got a special screening of that film coming up, followed by one of the silent films being screened, a restored version of it called Faust. And that's coming up on the 26th of May at the Como. So, a lot of special events. And I must mention one film, which was the most popular film in Germany last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't give you the original German title. I may not be allowed to broadcast it. But the international release title is Suck Me Shakespeare. And it's not necessarily what you think, but...
Exactly.
A lozenge.
Well, you probably have to bleep me out if I say the original German title, but it was so popular. And it's all about this ex-con who's buried money in the ground in this small location. And after he's released, after a couple of years, he discovers that a school has been built over his precious loot. And he now has to infiltrate the school and pretend he's a school teacher to try and get this money. And he is given the worst class in the school to look after. It is a very funny film and a real send-up of the German education system, amongst other things.
Do you have to... Well, I'm a product of the German education system. I don't know if everyone would get it. How do you send up the German film first, the German education system in your mind?
Well, the German education system is very rigid. It's very carefully controlled.
Pedagogisch.
Very pedagogy-oriented. You're right. And so this class is a nightmare. They hate school. They don't want to be there, but they have to be there. It's their last year. And he, instead of going in there and being all very friendly and nice and so on, he hates them with a passion and just treats them with disdain. And what happens after that is very interesting indeed.
Pick your top three. What are the must-sees, apart from The Circle?
Apart from The Circle and apart from what I've mentioned so far, Who Am I is a terrific thriller, a cyber thriller, about computer hackers who infiltrate government departments. And then the film travels in directions that are quite unexpected. It's a really strongly made thriller and was also very popular in Germany late last year.
Fantastic.
That's a great film. And then we have Let's have a look. A film like Stereo, which stars two very popular German actors, Jürgen Vogel being one of them, which is also a good thriller, a very good drama. And then we have Fatih Akin's new film, who has made so many good films like Soul Kitchen and other films, called The Cut, which is set during the time of the Armenian Genocide, which the Turkish still...
Repudiate.
Exactly. They still deny that it occurred. And this film is quite a powerful film about, it's a fictional film, but it's based around that time, about one man's journey to find his family after he's parted from it and almost murdered.
Wow.
And then we're having a discussion about that film afterwards. So, so much happening at the festival.
Peter, how can people find out about screening times and all about the films that you've got going on?
Well, they can go directly to Palace Cinemas, either palacecinemas.com.au website.
Is it all at the Como or is it other Palace Cinemas as well?
It's at the Kino as well, so it's at two cinemas. Most films are being screened at both cinemas, Como and Kino Cinemas, so Palace Cinema website. Or they can go to the Goethe website, where there's a blog and interviews and all sorts of things about the festival, and it's just Goethe, Goethe.de. /OzFilmFest.
Thank you very much, Peter. I know that you've got a huge day on, you've got a lot to do, and you've very kindly rushed out of something to talk to us on air. And I wish you all the very best. Vielen Dank für das Gespräch, and we wish you the best with the festival.
Auf Wiedersehen and
auf Wiederhören. All the best.
Okay.
Mach's gut. Bye.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
Well, that was a walk down future memory lane with Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I don't think Iggy Azalea ever dances in a film clip. I think she's completely incapable, and I've never seen her bust a move. She can sure rap.
She can get low.
She can get low, which is just crouching, which any predatory animal can.
Crouching tiger, hidden dragon, Mark.
But she's, I love her. I think she's a great talent, and I'm not a critic, but I've never seen her dance. Apart from doing some slightly awkward bottom movements, it's just never been a thing. Oh, poor thing. So, that was just...
She's coping.
Britney Spears' new track called Pretty Girls with Iggy Azalea. Thank you very much for that. And thank you very much to the Festival of German Films. If you have got any questions, we had a couple of people ask us. The website is goethe.de/OzFilmFestival. So that's where you can go. And we've received a $1,000 donation to Joy. Thank you, John, from South Melbourne. That is outstanding. That is utterly wonderful. And that is going to make a huge difference. Thank you so much, John. You went to the patrons event. $1,000 to Joy is a lot of money. And I doff my cap to you, sir. Thank you very much. It's a lot of money. And it doesn't have to be John from South Melbourne, who's the only one who's donating money. If you're listening in, you can feel free to go to joy.org.au, click through on the links, and pony up some dough.
Drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Smash it like it's a frog. So, Emma Overton, you've been with us for the hour, listening to Peter from the Audi Festival of German Films. And as a travel professional, big part of your career, what would you recommend to people as the number one tips as a traveller?
Is this to make your travelling more comfortable? Or
anything.
Yeah. My big tip is if you can afford to, or if you're doing long haul, like international travel, and you're doing it more than once a year, my tip is to utilise the clubs where you can. So, I mean, often a membership's around anywhere between $400 to $1,000. And if you plan your travel, you can obviously partner with certain clubs as well. and I always take advantage of the clubs, and especially if you're doing, say, a New York, Dubai, Australia, having that option while you're, you know, halfway through those torturous 14-hour flights. I think one's 14 hours 55, and to break it up and have the club and be able to have a shower, and you know, that makes a difference for your next leg and the next trip of next part of your journey. So that would be my advice.
It's good advice. I mean, if you've got the financial resources, I mean, it's not for everybody. Not everyone can afford to. I mean, my number one travel tip is half the luggage, twice the money.
Yes, yeah.
And insurance. Yeah. Make sure that you've got some insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. Travel insurance.
So what's your next trip? You've got things planned coming up.
Well, I do.
With your international fancy friends.
Yes. I've got two of my gorgeous best friends have recently, one's still in London, but they're both going to be in New York by the end of the year. So I'm going to try and squeeze in a London trip at the end of the UK summer, and then I will probably squeeze in a New York trip this time next year, because with my business now, with my work now, it takes me into design and furniture, and there's currently the big ICFF design and furniture show on in New York. I try and do a furniture show every time I go away. So I've done Milan, and I've also done Maison and Objet in France, in Paris. So I'm thinking I'll give the ICFF a go next year. Do a bit of...
What a great business to have.
NYC while I'm at it.
You get to go to all the cities on perfume labels. London, Paris, New York.
Absolutely.
Tokyo next.
That's what it's all about.
You're at Joy 94.9. We've been trying to connect with Joe. Unfortunately, due to my error, my SMS didn't send confirming stuff, so we didn't get to speak to her. But she's not going to be here next week, but she will be back the week following. She is having a wonderful time in New Zealand, and I can only imagine that she is doing things in style, as Joe only does things in style. She doesn't do it any other
way.
Lots
of crispy whites and... Oh
Joe's. Oh, my goodness. She is extremely
well-versed
knowledgeable
on crispy whites.
Oh, not just crispy whites. She's not a... I want to say gourmand, but it's probably the wrong word. She's an incredibly talented person when it comes to food and wine and how it all works together and quality drop. She certainly does know her way around a cellar. And I'm
that
sure
be
she's...
interesting to hear about.
Yeah, yeah, because she doesn't go to the big winery. She goes to the really unique, interesting places where people are doing creative, exciting things. They might do really small batches, but she went on a wine buying tour with a friend to Spain and France about 18 months ago, I think. And all of the places they went to were the little places that don't get the big purchases, and just incredible stories. Yeah, and that's one of those things that travel does. You just get to get a bit of dirt under your nails and go to unusual places and learn so much. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening to Escape Pod today. As I said before, we've got a whole lot of stuff coming up.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.